You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
If I ever fall in love again, I'll be a friend. It's gonna be a friend. If I ever fall in love again, I'll be a friend. I like them cool and kind of cocky, not too much to make a move. And try to lock me, try to take away the jewels. You cannot stop, you gotta understand the rules. I've been the type to wear the heart on my sleeve. Been the one to always choose the wrong plea. Not the type to ever see me lonely. I keep my socks on during loving. In and out, baby, in and out.
Welcome to Hour 3 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. While there has been little change in overall trust, the youngest birth cohorts has shown a notable increase in trust over the years. Trust among those born in the 2000s increased from 23% in 2021 to 35% in 2026. That number is still underwater, though. So if you were born in the 2000s, in the year 2021, 77% of the people born in the 2000s didn't trust anybody. 23% did. But that did improve to 35% of the people born in the 2000s trusted people, but still 65% did not. That has a direct impact on political parties, because if you have seen the Democrats and seen the Republicans, and you already have a very low standard for politics, mostly because people don't understand it, because civics is not taught, or if it's taught, it's taught with a bias. It's not really taught objectively. You have to almost want to learn it and study it on your own to get the real facts. Or if you want a shortcut, just listen to international media, because they talk about America like America actually is. Like, they don't have a reason to sugarcoat or to lie or to misrepresent American history. Because, I mean, all the stuff that happened, happened. Tell the story as it happened. Some of it is terrible. Some of it is very unflattering. But the whole point is to learn from it. And we don't learn from it. There's a Latin term called a saeculum. Saeculum is a very specific term that applies to the lifespan of a person. And it's roughly 80 years. Every 80 years, history begins to repeat itself if you do not teach the lesson. So in the lifetime of someone, if they don't use their lifetime to teach the younger generation, their children, their grandchildren, of what they saw and what they experienced in their lifetime, even the most unflattering, horrible, and atrocious things, if you don't teach the young generation, then by the time you reach the end of your life, you reach the end of one saeculum. Those young people, as they start to age, are going to repeat the mistakes of history. Now, this is a much more complicated conversation than I'm willing to have right now. But no matter how they explain it. So what was 80 years ago? 1946, roughly. Now, there's some variation. Saeculum could be 85 years, could be 72 years, whatever. But we just came out of World War II, where I could say a big factor in World War II, to put it lightly and diplomatically, was, well, there was a little bit of anti-Semitism. A little bit. I mean, well, kind of a lot. It was a theme amongst some of those involved in World War II. 80 years later. And you can say whatever you want about this, and I know that they do, and because I'm seeing it, because it used to be the Republicans and the conservatives really hated the Jews. They hated them a lot. I'm starting to see that evidenced in both political parties. I'm just a messenger over here, but some of the anti-Semitism that existed pretty profoundly has found its way back. And the Jews are very sensitive about this, because they want you to watch Schindler's List. And that's why Holocaust education is mandatory starting in eighth grade, because they are familiar with the saeculum. And what is one of the things that they say? They say, never forget. That is why they want everybody to tour Dachau and Birkenau and Sobibor. and Auschwitz, they're open for you to go in, and you see the piles of shoes and the piles of personal belongings that people were stripped of because they thought that they were going to get their stuff back. They were no. They were just going to work for a little while. War is going to be over, and then they were all going to go home. Not many of them went home at all. In fact, you had some places in Europe that did not have any Jews left, and they're very sensitive of that. And I would argue that there is the appearance of anti-Semitism that has come back, but I'm not shocked by that. I also am seeing a decided rollback of civil rights. You know, the civil rights movement really got its start after, of course, World War II, when black GIs fought very hard, very bravely, valiantly even, to try and earn the respect of the American people so that we could get civil rights legislation signed into law. Black men were drafted into World War II from the Jim Crow South, and that Jim Crow segregation also segregated the military. In fact, black GIs got the worst equipment, the most used guns and tanks and armaments and raggedy planes, and they still fought very valiantly to try and prove a point that black people were worthy of equal rights. I would argue that there is a rollback of civil rights. I would argue that the Voting Rights Act has been gutted. Affirmative action has been overturned. In fact, right here in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty is suing the state of Wisconsin to get rid of what is called a supplier diversity program. Soon we'll be joined by Wisconsin State Senator Dora Drake, who did get her bachelor's degree, and she was able to receive a minority scholarship. That minority scholarship has now been ruled and deemed unconstitutional because it looks at race in determining someone's financial need to be able to go to higher education, completely sidestepping the fact that for many, many generations, black people were simply prohibited from attending colleges. This minority scholarship program, which is only $2,500 a year, was a nod to the fact that black people for so long were kept out of the opportunity of higher education. That scholarship is now unconstitutional. And guess who did it? A liberal Wisconsin State Supreme Court voted 7-0. And they didn't even have to take the case because on our referendum, on the ballot in November, you're not going to see it when you vote next week, Tuesday, but in November, you are going to see a constitutional amendment that will ban affirmative action, diversity, equity, and inclusion in the state of Wisconsin permanently. This is not a bill. This is not an idea. This is not an ordinance. This will change the Constitution. If you go back 80 years, where were black people in the fight for civil rights? We were just really getting it underway, because our GIs were some of the first crusaders for equal and fair treatment. So I can look at anti-Semitism and where it was during World War II and just after, and I can put that side by side with where the fight for civil rights and justice also was 80 years ago, and look where we are. Anti-Semitism is everywhere, and people will say, oh, it's AIPAC, and it's... I don't blame the Jews for wanting to invest in people and invest in candidates that are going to preserve who they are. I'm not mad at, we're just mad because they got a whole bunch of money to do it. But then what you do is, because we don't like the influence of money in politics, right? Especially, I can understand the hardcore left and the progressives, they don't like the impact of influence of money in politics. Just wait. Those same people that don't like the impact and influence of money in politics are going to be begging you to give money to Francesca Hahn. But they're anti-establishment, right? Establishment is where the money is at. Watch how quickly they turn establishment when they have the opportunity to have an establishment candidate. Because the thing about democratic socialism, it's like a third party. It's not really credible yet. It doesn't become credible until it becomes part of the establishment, until it becomes prime time, until it's up there on that stage with old school Democrats and old school Republicans. That is when they have actually arrived. So this whole anti-establishment thing, I think it plays well with people who are not really involved in politics, and they think it's all dirty and they think it's all tainted. And that encourages those folks. It kind of hypnotizes them into, you know, being involved in this third party phenomenon, which is democratic socialism. But oh no, when you need money to run commercials and to do direct mail and to hire canvassers and to hire people that can man the phones and send all of the campaign related text messages, you will become establishment AF. You can also be rebellious and down with the system, and we're going to protest and we're going to march. In the 1960s, the hippies, we don't like war. We're going to protest. We don't want Dow Chemical to be an investor in the UW system, and we're going to do all of this protesting. And then they got married and had families and became conservative. Now, didn't they? They weren't rebelling anymore. They became establishment. I hate to break it to y'all, but the rambunctious, rebellious revolutionary is oftentimes because you are an idealistic child and you want the world to be as you imagine it in your dreams. But what happens is you grow up, you mature, you've got responsibilities, you got rent to pay, you got bills. Your babies that you have to feed, you don't care about rebelling against the system. You got to feed your children. You will become establishment. So miss me with this whole, oh, anti-establishment stuff. At some point, everybody grows up, everybody matures, and everybody wants to preserve and conserve what they built. Ain't nobody who's got a house, three kids, and a family they got to take care of. Ain't nobody, I'm going to go and I'm going to rebel. I'm going to protest on my job. No, you're not. You're just going to be angry, but you're going to work and get your 401k and retire. Take a break, come back. I'm going to talk to State Senator Dora Drake on the other side. She's got an announcement to make. She's running for president. No, she's not. Maybe. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back. On 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Fall back too close, you ain't even know.
In studio, as promised, Wisconsin State Senator Dora Drake. Hey, Dora, how you doing?
There you go. Hey, Sherwin, how are you?
There we go. Much better. I'm doing, I guess, as well as I can be, yeah, considering we have, you know, a little something going on, a little election going on. Today, in fact, is the last day for people to register if you want to vote early. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure folks know about that. You serve in a very specific capacity. Not only are you a senator representing Wisconsin's 4th District, you're also the chair of the Legislative Black Caucus.
Yes.
So it is your job essentially to make sure that there is a worthy agenda that, of course, can not just galvanize other black legislators, but also show and prove some opportunities for black voters and black constituents in the state of Wisconsin. And because of that very specific role, you know, you're not in the business of picking one Democrat versus another. Typically, elected officials don't.
I usually, you know, try to stay out of races of this magnitude just because, you know, early on, all of these folks that have been in the, you know, that were running for governor are friends of mine. I've seen them work in different capacities. But I will say that changed when I watched the debate, like many others. And so before that reason, after watching the debate, I have decided to endorse our county executive, David Crawley, for governor for a couple reasons. One, he is someone that has the receipts of what it means to get stuff done, right? He served on a legislator. Prior, before I even got into legislator, was able to get some legislation pieces forward. But he is the only person that has the experience of delivering as an executive, right? Whether we're talking about addressing public safety, you know, resources for county, you know, services, the whole nine, affordable health care, things that Democrats are championing and want to push forward. I want someone that's going to deliver results versus just stating, you know, what political platitudes they may do. And the reality is that, you know, as chair of the Legislative Black Caucus, there are nuances when it comes to certain policies that impact black and brown families and their children. I believe that he's the only one that is able to navigate that while still trying to get things done, able to defeat Dom Tiffany in November and be able to govern on day one. And that's what Wisconsin needs. We need someone that's focused on what it moves to move our state forward, especially in a very tumultuous political climate, but still recognizes that people at the end of the day want things done. They want to make sure that they can afford their homes. They want to make sure they can get their that they're paid well. All these things are basic needs that I believe has gone so far off because of all the attacks that Republicans are trying to distract voters from focusing on August 11th.
I want to point out how rare and unique this moment is, because someone who is a current legislator, rare do they endorse someone in a primary, but also even more rare is the incumbent Democratic governor has recently put his support behind David Crowley. Senator Drake, your thoughts on that? Because Tony Evers is not known to be like an overly political guy. He probably would just let the process play out.
He is very much someone that is just focused on getting things done. And there have been things I've disagreed with the governor on in the past, right? But at his core, he is someone that really wants to move Wisconsin forward. I do think with him endorsing David Crowley is unprecedented. And I think it caught a lot of folks off guard. And I know there's this whole argument about the establishment candidate. The reality is that David's background speaks for himself. You know, he grew up in the 53206 right here in Milwaukee. He knows what it means to move out and be able to do amazing things and still lead in spite of what's happened. For our governor to come out and endorse someone like him means that he sees something in David that our state needs. And so, yes, this is a very unusual primary that has happened over, you know, this, you know, time frame. But I think it speaks to the urgency of where Wisconsin will go forward, given who our nominee will be in August.
Put you in a bit of a sticky situation, because when you were in the assembly, Francesca Hong was also in the assembly. Mm-hmm. You and her were colleagues, so I'm sure you got to know her.
Yeah.
You are now colleagues with State Senator Kel DeRoyce, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're endorsed, and both of them are running for governor, but then you're endorsing David. Any word from them? Did they respond at all? Or,
you know, one of them did. I mean, obviously, you would want your colleagues to support them. I think there's regular disappointment that might come with that. And to their credit, like I said, I've never discredited the work that either of them done. You know, with Francesca Hong, she is compassionate. That is something that's true of her and how she went about her work in the assembly. With Senator Roy, she is very well knowledgeable of the issues. But knowing that we need someone that has the legislative experience, that has delivered, and can govern, David's the only one that fits the criteria.
Former candidate, but current Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, she was running.
Mm-hmm.
Then she wasn't. Then David Crowley dropped out, and he was going to put his support behind her. So you just watching the race from afar.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts on that? Because it did show a level of inconsistency. And then David gets back in the race. Do you think does that hurt this campaign at all?
Oh, gosh. I will say this. I think folks were shocked about the news with Lieutenant Governor's news and why she dropped out. And it's unfortunate because, frankly, you know, I would hate to see anyone be put in that position itself. On the flip side, you know, I think Crowley, you know, David Crowley made a decision on trying to make sure, like, whoever is going to be the best to win. In that, I think the reason why he got back in the race is because he had so many folks from the community reach out and say, please get back in. That is unusual when you hear folks from your very own community and out there, you know, supporters saying, we know they stepped up, but we think you still have a chance. And I think that speaks to leadership that's called to something greater versus you believing that you can do something yourself. Because now you have an established credibility in various areas of Wisconsin. And I think because that happened for David Crowley, I think that there is a chance that he will win on August 11th.
Mandela was in the race, too. He's not anymore. Any thoughts?
You know,
I got to ask you.
I know.
You know where you at, Dora.
No, I know. I will say with Mandela, you know, he ran for U.S. Senate, you know, a couple of years ago, and he was so close to winning.
Was that a mistake for him to run, hindsight being 2020?
I think he probably should have been stayed as a lieutenant governor personally, because he would have been able to run for our governor.
There'd be no primary if Mandela was a lieutenant governor. Would you agree with that? You think anybody would primary him?
Of course, folks are primary. People primary folks all the time. I can't say that.
I don't even know if Francesca would have primaried him, because imagine if he's the heir apparent. Tony Evers says he's not running again in 2025. Mandela's still a lieutenant governor. He never quit that position to run for Senate. Let's imagine that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Mandela, of course, has got the momentum at his back. He's been a lieutenant governor for two terms. If Francesca entered that race, then the relationship between the two of them would have been that entire contest. And I don't think that she would have jumped in to primary him. However, I could be wrong, but neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
So did Mandela, do you think he brought any value to the race? And where do his supporters go, if you had to guess? If you're a Mandela person, who do you think that they would now support?
Well, you know, a lot of Mandela's following are folks that were progressive, you know. But I also know that they also understand some of those nuances of the things I've mentioned on how policy can impact Black and brown folks differently. So I think it'll be an interesting mix to see folks move either probably towards Crowley or Francesca Hong. But I do think that in the upcoming days ahead, it's a matter of just getting the vote out. So I, you know, make an assumption here, but I would hope that some of those supporters of Mandela would, you know, hopefully transfer over to Crowley if they haven't voted already, because that's also another dynamic too. Some folks are recasted their ballot and their candidate is no longer in the race anymore. And I know that some folks have been frustrated with that, right? And it doesn't help that our courts upheld the decision where folks can't spoil their ballot in order to select someone new that is still actually in the race.
What would you say are the top issues on voters' minds? And you don't just travel in the 4th Senate district. You actually travel all over the state. Mm-hmm. And when you hear from people, what do you think is top of mind right now?
I think the top of mind really is affordability issues. And that's something that David Crowley has talked about extensively. You know, there is a dire need to figure out how to address housing. You know, housing is a top issue where folks can't afford rent or they're trying to become a homeowner. That is something that we're increasingly seeing. There's a large issue on just being able to pay for your basic needs. So I know that there's a need for union jobs, you know, increasing the minimum wage. Those have been things that have been talked about multiple times. There is a conversation of data centers. You know, that is something that a lot of folks have been paying attention to because of what's happening in these hyperscale AI data centers in different parts of the state. And in that, you have folks that want to focus on ensuring that there are job opportunities that are union-based, but also that the environment's protected and that local control is, you know, is respected. I think all those things are completely valid. And I think knowing that David has a unique perspective of what it means to govern, what it means to hear all the stakeholders at hand, how to do it responsibly in a way where it still protects citizens, everyday people, while still hopefully providing opportunity for folks to actually provide jobs. Because we know if you don't have jobs, you don't have folks that can cover their bills. And then with that, our economy drops, and then everything starts to go to wire.
We are speaking with State Senator Dora Drake, who represents the 4th State Senate District. She is also the chair of the Legislative Black Caucus. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this thing that has just been looming over this race, probably unlike any other issue that I've heard. And it's this thing called the establishment. We're going to talk about what the establishment is, why it has been so demonize and what impact it can have on the race. It also should be noted that State Senator Dora Drake is endorsing and supporting David Crowley for governor. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. Myself and the senator will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Welcome back to the program. In studio, Wisconsin State Senator Dora Drake. She is announcing her support, her endorsement of Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley for governor, which is a very unusual and unprecedented thing to do, because as the chair of the Legislative Black Caucus, like, you have a legislative role to make sure that we have good policy and that agendas are mm-hmm. right where they need to be. But for you to get in this race and endorse must say an awful lot about David Crowley, right?
Absolutely. And I will say this, because you know, I have the pleasure of working with David Crawley in that capacity, right? There have been things that he and his team has come to myself and several legislators on what Milwaukee needs from the state. And it's no surprise that Wisconsin currently is under Republican majority leadership. And if anyone knows the trouble and the blocks that comes with trying to push legislation forward to just get dollars and resources to Milwaukee County and folks here in general, it is a mountain to climb. In that, I've been able to see and witness how he has been strategic. He has been always forefront of what his priorities are and being able to get resources through the finish line. That is a certain level of skill that requires more than just, you know, yelling about what the issues are at. That takes relationship building. That takes tactic. That takes strategy in order to get things done. And frankly, I would rather have someone be our governor that can do that, especially in a time when our current governor and our AG were really the front lines of preventing a lot of harm to happen to Wisconsin from the Trump administration. You need someone that can navigate all those pieces while still moving Wisconsin forward and delivering on policies and things that Democrats have championed for years.
When you found out that the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, a liberal court, by the way, voted 7-0 to basically take away a minority scholarship, your thoughts on that, because I know that you have a personal connection with that scholarship, and also what does that say in general about where our politics in Wisconsin are going?
Oh, I'll be frank. I was pissed.
I saw your your press release, and you were not a happy camper.
No, I wasn't. I found out, literally, actually, while I was just ending a press release, press conference for a great organization on the Buchanan House. I was focused on opening a food kitchen for the community. That's when I found out right after that conference. I was flabbergasted that we are here to this point, but not completely, because this is why. And was one reason why the Legislative Black Caucus went on state tours last year and announced our policy agenda this year was to make sure that there's accountability issue. One, because I do believe that black voters are so tired of showing up for Democrats while getting very little for their vote. And that is real, because we have been the backbone of the Democratic Party. We continue to show up. And frankly, our black vote turnout is what keeps our base strong here in Wisconsin specifically. The fact that we are in a time where federally we are seeing our Voting Rights Act completely decimated and the affirmative action, you know, overturned as well, there is not a desire to, the courts aren't supporting it. And it's gotten to the point where even if you're showing that the facts are there, that's not even enough to be held in court. That's the dynamic that we're dealing with right now. And so when we talk about, you know, who's going to be our next governor, it really dictates the trajectory of where the party is going to be moving forward. You need someone that is going to obviously stand for democratic values, deliver on a lot of progressive policies that we've been fighting for years, as well as uplifting those that are most disadvantaged. Those two are not separate. They're simultaneous. And I do believe that too often, unfortunately, you can have some folks well-intentioned that are trying to push for progressive agendas, but if you're not prioritizing black and brown issues at the core of that, you're missing the mark. And that's where I do believe black voters are really caught in this middle spot of, we know Tom Tiffany is going to do horrible damage because of what he's done already at the federal level. But we need someone as our governor nominee and who could defeat Tom Tiffany to actually move our state forward, especially in a state where we're still dealing with the highest disparities for black folks in all different capacities.
Do you believe that the candidate who has been leading in the polls in this primary has prioritized African-American issues? And I say that because we have seen a liberal state Supreme Court overturn a minority scholarship. We have a conservative law firm that is suing to end the supplier diversity program, which is something that the state of Wisconsin has never met as far as getting a certain number of minority-owned businesses opportunities to get contracts with the state. And then we have this referendum. If all the other things were not insulting enough, to add insult to injury, there's a referendum on the ballot in November. Do you believe that the leading candidate has prioritized those things to the level where we could feel comfortable in supporting her?
I don't believe so, and this is why. You know, I do believe that there needs to be accountability on a lot of the things that she's talking about, right? You know, there should be some sort. Well, she wants a moratorium on data centers. I think that there needs to be a little bit more discussion about that because folks need jobs. And in that, that sort of speaks to the need for the highest black unemployment rate here, you know, and how we can address that. I do think that in her goal of trying to move our state forward, that sometimes you're missing on the basics of, you know, the issues that we're still fighting for, like literacy, making sure that children can still read and write. What does it mean for the achievement gap? Yes, we need to address our public schools. That is a reality. However, there's a lot of constituents of mine that do go to alternative schools. And so the conversation needs to be focused on what does education look like to provide quality education that's fully funded in order to ensure that every child gets what they need. And that is something that is nuanced in the policies and what I refer to. And so for that reason, you know, I do believe that her campaign, you know, strives to do that. But if you're not aware of the nuances, then you're going to miss the mark regardless if you meant well intentions or not.
Senator Drake, where did this whole establishment conversation come from? I come to find out that I'm establishment. I went to bed one night and I was sure when I woke up the next morning, I apparently was establishment. You're establishment, and David Crowley is establishment, and Governor Tony Evers is establishment. Where did that come from? What does that mean? David Crowley actually said something that was posted on social media that he took offense to being called, quote-unquote, establishment because he grew up in a rough zip code. He had to work very hard to get to where he was. What is this whole establishment thing about?
You know, so my personal thoughts, I think it's just jealousy, if I can just call it out for what it is. But I do think on the flip side of it, it's folks believing that you have high-end donors, you know, folks that have a lot of influence and power within the Democratic Party, stating who they want to be the nominee. And I think David has been called that because Governor Evers did endorse him, as well as a slew of other local and state electeds that have come following supporting him. I think what folks are and to add to that, you know, I know Congresswoman Gwen Moore has endorsed him, as well as the Congressional Black Caucus. In that, I do believe that there is a distinction, and I sort of spoke to it a little bit earlier, where, you know, David's sole decision to get back in the race, I really do believe was because people called him to get back in. That's different. You know, it was people in the community that believed in his leadership, believed that in the 6 years of governing that he can do more for Wisconsin, currently, you know, more than he is as a county exec right now. And in that, I do believe that there's this mixed bag of who's the establishment. Because if you look at, say, Francesca Hong, she has other national leaders that are endorsing her. You have Rep. Congresswoman.
Bernie isn't, though. That should be noted. Bernie's like, nah.
He is not. I did see that he's not getting involved. But she has other national politicals and Congress individuals that are supporting her. And technically, they're part of the establishment, too. And so I think it's a matter of, I don't understand where the establishment really is coming from, except from this is the only thing that they can say about him and why he shouldn't be governor.
I sometimes wonder, and I go back and forth on this, is her campaign more about beating and bludgeoning the establishment of the Democratic Party, the bedrock, the foundation, the people that keep the Democratic Party honest and focused on the issues that make Democrats what they are, is the focus on diminishing them, or is the focus on actually beating Tom Tiffany? Because you are not going to be able to do both. You're not going to diminish the bedrock and the foundation, including the part of the Democratic Party that gives money. I don't know if you can diminish them and make them feel less than and make them feel like they are part of the problem, when the real problem is Tom Tiffany and Trumpism. So I'm trying to figure out how somebody squares that circle of bludgeoning, disrespecting, and demeaning actual Democrats. That is the party that she is running with, essentially. Mm-hmm. How do you bludgeon those people and disrespect them, want to join their party, be their nominee, but then also try and beat Tom Tiffany? So I just think that the whole establishment thing is a bit of a distraction. We're going to take a break, come back. State Senator Dora Drake is here. She's got some news for y'all. She's running for probably re-election to the Wisconsin State Senate. She's also supporting and endorsing Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, and she is in good company in doing so. Congresswoman Gwen Moore is endorsing, and also Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Desperado.
Welcome back to the program. In studio, Wisconsin State Senator Dora Drake. She is supporting and endorsing Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley for governor. You've got a very unique role, Dora. Not only are you chair of the Black Legislative Caucus, you also are a member of the Wisconsin State Senate. You guys are just on the cusp of getting a Democratic majority in the Senate, and it is possible that there could be a Democratic majority in the Assembly, something we haven't seen in a very long time. Talk about the importance of making sure that there is a Democratic majority in both houses and how that can make legislation fly through a little bit easier.
Absolutely. So, one, you know, I am serving as the vice caucus chair for the Senate Dems, and when I tell you that because we do have fair maps, that we have candidates, amazing candidates that are currently running, and we know that they will win their elections. And in that, we've been doing our part in trying to get support for them as well. What happens with the legislature and the Senate and the Assembly will dictate how far Wisconsin can move forward and who our governor nominee is. Right now, we know that in the Senate, we are confident that we will get the majority. But the ultimate goal is to get that trifecta, because the reality is, if there is a scenario where our governor is Tom Tiffany, and you have divided government or divided legislature where it's Democrat, you will be in a situation where we are introducing policy after policy, focusing on health care, focusing on jobs, things that Democrats have been wanting for years, protections, you know, for folks, because we have to do that too. And it will be vetoed by the governor if it is Tom Tiffany every single time. On top of that, the governor can do executive orders and call for different special sessions. So what we currently have been dealing with a Republican legislator that has tried to push so many things forward, we've been able to have that block because Governor Evers was our governor. If it is those flip way around, that means that we cannot deliver the way that we want to for Wisconsinites. And so the importance of having someone as the nominee that can be Tom Tiffany and governor on day one will also impact the ability for Senate Democrats and Assembly Democrats to move the needle forward for Wisconsin, which is why this nominee election is so key. And so I know that there are folks who are still undecided in the polls. I do think that there is still an opportunity for folks to make a decision and to come out and vote. And that's one thing that I do want to highlight, because it is GOTV weekend, y'all, and we know that this is the time to get votes turned out. And so Team Crowley and his campaign is having a statewide tour where they are getting the vote out. And so you can RSVP at crowleyforwi.com/events, and you can register to do doors and to get out the vote. They have some in Sheboygan, Green Bay, Wausau, Eau Claire, Madison, Green Bay, Milwaukee. They're covering all parts of the state, y'all. And so if you're wondering, how can I get plugged in? RSVP and get the vote out, whether that's door knocking or phone banking, because we know that Democrats always deliver when it comes to voting. And this is our opportunity to ensure that we have David Crowley be our nominee for governor.
Senator, what is that website one more time?
It is crowleyforwi.com/events. And then that way you can RSVP and sign up for shifts in order to do doors, phone banking, whatever we need to do to get the vote out and push for David Crowley to be our next governor.
In the event that he wins the contest on August 11th, do you believe that he could assist, especially in some of those areas that might be a little more red or a little more purple, legislative districts outstate? Do you think that he can campaign credibly and legitimately to help turn some of those red assembly districts and Senate districts blue? Because whoever's top of the ticket, whether it's him or whether the person who's leading in the polls, they have got to make sure that they've got a Democratic majority. Do you think that David is more credible in helping get a Democratic legislative majority than she is?
I think she is for this reason, because, again, he knows how to work across the aisle, you know, when he was in the legislature. And he was able to talk to Speaker Voss when Speaker Voss said it was it on arrival, and was able to push legislation for Milwaukee County, which is Act 12. He is able to do the work. And so because David's story and what he's accomplished and what he aims to do for Wisconsin is rooted in fact and as well as focus, I believe that he can inspire folks to get involved and turn some of those purple districts to blue in November.
United in faith, grounded in hope. Today, well, it was from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Today, from noon until 2 p.m., there's a Sheboygan meet and greet with David Crowley. There's going to be a Green Bay rally with David Crowley and Governor Tony Evers from 5 until 7 p.m. Then from 7:30 until 9:30, there's a Door County meet and greet with David. How are you, David? How are you doing all this? What else is there going on this weekend? There's a Shawano Dems meet and greet that is tomorrow, August 8th, from 10 a.m. until 12 p.m. Then also tomorrow, there's a Wausau rally with David Crowley and Governor Tony Evers. Tony Evers, oh, man, he's going to be out there putting in some shoe leather. And then on Saturday from 4 until 6, there's an Eau Claire Democratic Party meet and greet at Shift Coffee, if you happen to be in Eau Claire. David Crowley will be there for a meet and greet. And then on Sunday, there will be a lacrosse rally with David Crowley and Governor Tony Evers from 10 a.m. until 12 p.m. And then the Viroqua Dems are having a meet and greet also on Sunday from 12:30 until 2:30. And it looks like this whole thing is getting capped off right in Francesca's backyard on Sunday, August 9th, from 5 until 7 p.m., a Madison rally with David Crowley and Governor Tony Evers. There's a whole – no, there's more. On Monday, there's a Milwaukee rally with David Crowley and Governor Tony Evers. Join David Crowley with special guest Tony Evers in Milwaukee on Monday, August 10th at 5:30. Addresses will be sent to the RSVPs the day before the event. So there's a whole host of things going on. Dora, people got to get out and get motivated and get fired up. Do you think that they can do it this last stretch?
I think it's possible. We've seen Wisconsin, this primary has been far from normal. And if anything, I think hopefully future First Lady Erica Crowley said it best. You know, they're running on faith. And I believe because of their faith, their dedication, and the work that Crowley and his supporters are doing, especially with the support of Governor Evers, that he can cross the finish line. And I will say this, because, again, I just really want folks to understand. He is the only candidate that has had experience within the legislature and has had executive experience with 6 years of receipts to show that he's done work, whether it's creating jobs, lowering taxes, expanding affordable housing, funding public safety, lowering drug overdose deaths, and expanding mental health care. Those are priorities that Wisconsin desperately needs. Those are priorities that Wisconsin Democrats have been pushing and desiring to deliver for years. And we have the opportunity to all come together to defeat Tom Tiffany and govern on day one to deliver for Wisconsin. But we need to do that by getting David Crowley over the finish line on August 11th.
Is there some concern that because this primary has been, we've stated it a million and one times, and I can't say it enough, very unusual and very unconventional, and actually it's been quite divided because it seems that the Hong supporters are, let's just say they're very passionate. They're passionate mm-hmm. to the point of almost disrespect. Do you think it'll be difficult for the Democrats to come together behind whoever the nominee is and then change the focus from beating up on one another and trying to call somebody establishment and somebody this or somebody that, and then turning the focus to Tom Tiffany? Because right now Tom Tiffany does not have a primary where he's getting beat up from mm-hmm. another Republican opponent. So he's kind of sailing through all of this. What do you think is necessary for Democrats to come together and see what the ultimate prize is in November, and that's to beat Tom Tiffany?
Yeah, I do think that, you know, regardless of what happens with the election on August 11th, there has to be a conversation of being focused to defeat Tom Tiffany. I think the reality is, to your point, some of Fran's supporters have been very passionate to the point where it has been disrespectful, I will say that, and that has left a sour taste in many supporters of Crowley, in that I believe we recognize what is at stake. if we do not beat Tom Tiffany in November. And just for folks to know, like, Tom Tiffany was one of the folks that actively voted to not verify the 2020 election. He's someone that has consistently voted against Wisconsin interests. We cannot have someone like Tom Tiffany be our governor. And in that, I hope that there is a come to Jesus moment, so to speak, where at the end of the day, we know what the goal is, and that we ensure that some of the priorities that I know I've mentioned I have concerns about are addressed in moving forward, because we cannot allow Tom Tiffany to be our next governor.
You don't believe in Juneteenth Day?
That part.
That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You got to believe in the freedom and, of the black people.
And it was in the state of Wisconsin where we had the longest
celebration
here, right here in Milwaukee, and in the north part of the district where I get to have the parade on that side of town. Those are just things that, again, whoever the nominee is, knowing that as Democrats we have to be Tom Tiffany, but recognizing, especially as chair of the Black Caucus, there are priorities that black voters will no longer just stand by, and you cannot ignore what those concerns are should you be the next governor of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin State Senator Dora Drake, thank you for hanging out with us. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Same here.
And I think that you did the county executives some good, because a lot of folks, they were undecided, but then they listened to the show today. Like, Dora Drake is endorsing David Crowley. Well, I am undecided no more. They were just waiting for you, Senator, to get off the sidelines. And now that you are supporting and endorsing David Crowley, well, I think that that's probably going to do it for David. Now he's going to go on and be president of the universe.
Well, let's hope so. But it's all hands on deck from here, and folks know that. So sign up. Go ahead and meet Crowley if you're still undecided, if you're in those areas that Sherwin mentioned. But ultimately, make sure you bring five other people to the polls with you if you have not really voted already.
Thank you guys for listening. The Lunch Break with Ray Nitti and maybe Shannon is up next.